If you would stand with me, I want to read Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about preparing for battle, that we're in a battle. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that we need to know if we're in a battle, we need to know who our enemy was, and our enemy is Satan. And Satan's desire is to devour us, it's to destroy us. And then a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you from Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. We talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and the feet with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talked all about that. But there's one thing in that list in Ephesians chapter 6 that's at the very end that I think we so often overlook, but it talks about praying. And I saved prayer for its own Sunday, because in my opinion it's sometimes like we say things like, I can't do anything, so I guess I'll pray. And that breaks my heart. And I've said it, I'm not judging you, because I've said it before, and because I think sometimes we just don't have the right mentality about what prayer is. But prayer, as I shared with you during worship, prayer is our power position. It's our power position as children of God. Oversimplified definition of prayer is just communicating with God. It's opening up that another old hymn, Royal Telephone. Central's never busy, always on the line. You may hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service, free for one and all. When you get in trouble, just give that royal line a call, right? Because it is always available. And when we're praying, we're just opening up that line where we can talk to God, but more importantly, God can talk to us. In fact, God does talk to us. We just need to listen to him. Right? He talks to us all the time. He talks to us every day. If you get up this morning and you saw the sun coming up over the eastern horizon, that's God talking to you. Say, hey, just remember this. There's so many things going on. You got an earth spinning. You got a galaxy rotating. You got all that going on. And guess what? I did it again. One more day. You made another trip around the sun. You made another trip. We spun one more time and you didn't fly off into the abyss. I'm speaking to you. Maybe I could keep going, but let's just go ahead and look. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, key word there is when. It's not if. It's when. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, again, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, God. I thank you for the privilege, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that I can get into the power position. And I thank you, Lord God, that Central is never busy, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that I don't ever hear that you've been disconnected. I don't ever hear that the busy tone. I don't ever, Father, Lord God, I thank you that there are no dead spots, Lord God. I thank you that there are no dropped calls, Lord God. But Lord God, I thank you, God, that when I pray, you hear my prayer, Lord God, and that you answer my prayer, God. Father, I pray in these next few moments that I wouldn't speak, but that you would speak freely through me in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. If you'd go ahead and show that 2 or 3 minute video clip. Is there no video clip in the... And so it was from the movie War Room. Everybody seen the movie War Room? Right? And it's when Miss Claire is taking the wife through the house and she's showing her favorite room in the house, right? And it's her prayer closet. And as she walks into the prayer closet, she looks around and she sees that she's got all these names and all these things written on the wall. And the wife asks her, I can't remember the wife's name right now, but what's going on? And Miss Claire says, look, I write my prayers down. And these are the people that I pray for because I have a prayer strategy. And I wonder this morning, do you have a prayer strategy? Do you do you set aside a time to pray? And I like what she says. And the wife says, I don't have time like this to pray, Miss Claire. And she looks at her and she says, you got time to fight with your husband, don't you? Drop the mic. Right? Or we could say something like, you got time to watch your favorite TV show, don't you? You got time to do this, don't you? Whoa, look what Sally Sue just did. You got time, right? You got time to do all that. If you got time to do all that, then you've got time to pray. And she concludes it by saying, if you'll give me just 1 hour a week, if you'll give me just 1 hour a week, I'll change, or I won't, excuse me, he'll change your life. Why? Because prayer is our power position. I already talked about sports, but in sports you have power positions. You have positions where you have your weight equally distributed and you've got balance. You've got all of those things going on. In this business world, there are power people. There are power positions. Let's just be honest that the CEO of Coca-Cola has more power than the CEO of Moore Septic, right? It's all about a power position. But as a child of God, our power position is when we pray. And I said, you know, it's on our knees, but you know what? You don't have to pray on your knees. I mean, I do some of my best praying in the car. So doesn't Jen when I'm driving, but that's beside the point, right? But I do some of my best praying just kind of walking around the sanctuary. I want you to understand this. I read this quote a few months ago in a book by Jim Raley. It said this. It says that you have world-changing, hell-wrecking, life-transforming power at your disposal right this very moment. Do you understand that? You have world-changing, hell-wrecking, life-transforming power at your very disposal, this very moment, that you have access to it right now. You have access to the perfect power position. And I wonder, but do we take advantage of what we have available to us? And prayer, the directness of prayer. Just real quick, I'm going to highlight a few things. That there are different types of prayers. I call them the five D's. There's direct prayer, there's definite prayer, there's determined prayer, there's disciplined prayer, and there's desperate prayer. In fact, if you think about this, I would go so far to say that the church and or Christian, interchangeable, that praise is or will be a giving, soul-winning, worshiping, holy, missions-minded, hungry, healing, growing church / Christian. Because I believe you could say the opposite is true. And if you don't have a direct connection, if you don't have a royal telephone, if you don't have that direct connection to God, then I would say that your relationship with God is probably struggling. Because you gotta be in communication. I jokingly said, wives, send your husbands away for the night because absence makes the heart grow fonder, but that doesn't really work. It doesn't really work because you can go away, but when you come back, it's the exact same thing. And so absence does, you gotta stay in contact with your spouse to build a relationship. You've got to stay in contact with God to build a relationship. To experience the fullness of God, to experience the fullness that God has for you, you must be willing to pray. That's why I said twice in that portion of scripture I read you, it says, when you pray. It's expected. I'd almost go so far as to say it's required that we, as Christians, that we communicate with God. It's that when, not if you pray. It didn't say if you feel like it, if you have time, if you can fit me in on your calendar. Pastor, if I pull my calendar up, you don't understand how... I understand we live in a world where we're all busy. In fact, I would recommend for many of us that maybe we need to simplify our calendars. Because if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And when we're too busy for God, we're just plain old too busy. When we pray. In fact, Paul said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That word continuous, it means it's the word proskartereo, and I just murdered it. but it means to adhere to be devoted to give unremitting care to, and to persevere and not faint. Prayer warriors are supposed to persevere. They're supposed to stay in the fight. I told you that this series was called that winning the battle. That we're supposed, as prayer warriors, we're supposed to persevere in prayer. He goes on to say in verse 5, Jesus said, is that don't be like the hypocrites. The word hypocrite is hypocrites. And it means this. It means an actor, a stage player, a pretender, someone who wears a mask. And we don't need pretenders in the church. We don't need performers in the church. We don't need mask wearers in the church. We need worshipers and prayer warriors in the church. We need people to be real in the church. We don't need to put on a facsimile. We don't need to put on a shell of ourselves, but we need to be who we really are. Goes on to say that it doesn't matter who hears as long as God hears. And then just kind of wrapping it up. The different power positions of prayer. Five different power positions of prayer. Prayer is a power position. It's a tool. It's a weapon that God has given us. Tools need to be used properly. If you have a shovel, you can dig a hole. But a shovel's not very good at hitting a baseball or a softball. A baseball bat is, it's supposed to be anyways, pretty good at hitting a baseball. But it's pretty hard to dig a hole with a baseball bat. Tools are created for a purpose. And when used within their purpose, they are effective and they are efficient. But when used outside of their purpose, they are not effective and they are absolutely not efficient. And prayer is a tool that God has given to us. And so often we sit on our prayers, or so often we don't use them effectively because we're very generic. As I said when I called you down to the altar just a few moments ago, we're very generic. We say, oh, God, help us. Well, yeah, he wants to help us. But how about we be specific in our need? Lord, win my family. Well, praise God, he wants to win my family, but how about you start with one? Lord, give me an opportunity to witness to fill in the blank. Be specific with your prayers. And so the different kinds of tools, the different kinds of prayer that God has given us. He's given us the power or the prayer of petition. Petition means to simply to ask God. You have not because you ask not, it says in James chapter 4 and verse 2. Jesus said himself in Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, it to him who knocks it will be open. And ask, seek, and knock, and implies a continuance, to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking, to keep on going to God with our needs. And so we need to petition. In fact, God responds to those who pursue him. Miss Lori opened it up this morning in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, why don't you go ahead and just speak the things that aren't as if they are? Why don't you just speak them into, ask for them. Say, God, I thank you right now that my mom is going to be saved. I thank you right now that so-and-so is going to be healed of cancer. God, I thank you right now that relationship is going to be put back together. I'm going to speak the things that aren't as if they are. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and what? He will give you the desires of your heart. We all want to claim the fact that God's going to give me the desires of my heart, but we got to go back to the first side of that scripture where it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight means your heart has to line up with God's heart. Your desires have to line up with God's desires, and your wills are going to line up with God's wills. And when your heart and wills and desires line up with God, then it's very easy to give you the desires of your heart. But here's the thing, as we ask, we start out kind of like when we're more young, like thinking of God as a great big Santa Claus in the sky. Lord, I need this and I need this and I need this. But as we mature, our asking becomes different because it's not selfish. I'll stay up here while I talk about this. It's not selfish and self-centered and self-serving. But it becomes, Lord, I just ask you to allow me to be a blessing. Lord, allow me to be a vessel in your hands. Lord, allow me to plant, to sow, to water, to break up ground. Whatever it is, God, that you need me to do, God, allow me. That's how I'm asking this morning. But then we intercede. Intercession is another tool, another form of prayer that so often we don't take advantage of. The word intercession means to entreat for favor, to stand in and represent someone, to stand in the gap. In Acts chapter 7, verses 58 through 60, as Stephen is about to be stoned for his faith, he intercedes for those who are in the process of stoning him. He says, Lord, I pray right now that you don't hold this against them. Don't hold them accountable for their actions, God. Don't hold them guilty. He's interceding on their behalf. I wonder when's the last time that you interceded on somebody's behalf. When you, oh, hallelujah, when you went to God and for somebody else's need, and you prayed to God like it was your own need, but it wasn't your need, it was somebody else's need, because you said, God, I understand that so-and-so is in need right now. They need a financial miracle. God, I pray right now, God, that you would just, you let it rip on behalf of somebody else. How about the prayer of compassion? Multiple times, compassion, to yearn for from your inner being, to minister, to be stirred in and from the depth of oneself. 8 different times in the New Testament, Jesus was moved with compassion. And every time he was moved with compassion, it was followed by action. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, he was moved with compassion. And when he was moved with compassion, he healed people. In Matthew 18 and 17, he forgave debt. In Mark 6 and 34, he taught. In Matthew 9 and 36, he preached. And he fed and he bled for us. But when was the last time that you were moved with compassion? That God touched your heart so much that, you know what? Something had to be done. And instead of saying, well, the church should do it or somebody else should do it, you did it. When I was growing up, we had a lady, Sunday school superintendent. We don't even have Sunday school anymore, but we used to come to church an hour before service, and they'd break us off into classes, and that's where discipleship took place. And you had somebody who was in control of all of that. And I went to her one time when I was probably 19 or 20, and said, you know, we really ought to have this in Sunday school. And she said, you see a need, do the deed. I wanted to throat punch her. I didn't, though. That's 18, 19-year-old art. That was less mature art, because she called me out right there. And I ended up teaching. I've told the story. I ended up teaching 6- and 7-year-old girls for 2 years. Talk about a stretching process. The morning I walked in, they bawled their eyes out because they wanted nothing to do with me as their teacher. But praise God, 2 years later, when they graduated the next class, they bawled their eyes out because they didn't want to leave me as their teacher. You know, and so, you know, and that was because they didn't really change. Well, they probably did change some, but God had worked on me. And nothing will soften you up like a little 6-year-old girl. Just saying, when you're just moving, let's move on, right? Let's move on. You know, you get the power of compassion, the power of supplication. Supplication is praying with urgency. James 5 and 14 says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, hell operates every day with a sense of urgency. Do we operate every day with a sense of urgency? A very simple illustration, but if we were to have one of these young children head down to Route 1, and start to walk across Route 1, we would scream, hopefully we would scream and run and do something to save them from walking out into traffic. And yet every day, we have friends and family members who are lost and dying and on a road straight to hell. And it's almost as if we just wave to them saying goodbye. Do we prevail? Do we have supplication? Are we earnest? Are we fervent in our prayers? And then finally, this travailing prayer. The idea of travailing prayer is, the word travailing means to be painful, laborious. It's a painful, laborious effort or energy that's put into prayer. The greatest example would be Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, found in Luke chapter 23, where he's praying, and the Bible talks about his sweat became as great drops of blood, and he prayed, and he said, God, if there is any way, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, Father, Lord God, I pray that this cup would pass from me, Lord God. If there's anything that can, if there's any other opportunity, if there's any other sacrifice that will fulfill, Lord God, let it happen. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It was painful and it was laborious and it was, he put so much energy into it. And I wonder when's the last time that you get up from praying and you could wring sweat out of your t-shirt? Let's just be real. When's the last time that you went home from church and you felt like you'd run a marathon instead of sat on your backside for 2 hours? Ow. Right? You won't let me go on vacation again if I keep preaching like this, right? But when's the... When's the last time that you felt like you'd been through a workout? It was a spiritual and emotional workout with God, not the treadmill or the elliptical or the track. When's the last time that you travailed in prayer? When's the last time that you just gave God absolutely everything you have? And here's the thing as I wrap up and get ready to dismiss in a prayer. As you pray, I said in the beginning that God answers our prayers. But he doesn't always answer them the way that we want him to. And sometimes his answer is wait. And I just want you to hear this morning, that delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. And I know I share this a lot, but it's the best example I have, that from the time I was old enough to pray until I was 27, I prayed for my dad to get saved. And there were times during those 20-some years, probably 23, 24 years, that I wanted to quit and give up. Just say, it's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. Dad's not going to get saved. I thank God I never did, because just because God delayed it didn't mean he was denying my prayer. But there was a time, there was an appointed time. Miss Laura, you talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to rejoice. There's a time to cry. There's a time to be sad. There's a time to be happy. Everything has a season. God has a season for everything. I wanted to close with a video clip from War Room, but I don't think that's going to happen either. But there's a video. Hopefully, if you've seen it, then you can at least imagine. If you haven't seen that movie, I would encourage you to go. It's like $4 on Hulu or what, one of those things. You can rent it and watch it. But near the end of the movie, the wife is she's finally started to pray, and she gets down and she gets busy with God, and she's talking to her. She says, "I'm tired of you," and she just takes the authority that she has. You take your hand off my man, you take your hand off my family, you take your hand off my finances, you take your hand, and just commanding the enemy to be done with it. And I just want you to understand this morning, I hope you've already seen that if you're going through something, that you have a position of power that you can go to. You have a position of strength and a position of resources that you can go to. But you need to utilize it this morning. You need to open up. You need to open up the royal telephone. You need to open up the line and talk with God. And you don't have to talk to him a certain way. I know I shared, but my friend Phil was a King James prayer. These and thous and wills and won'ts. And that's the way he prayed. That was his language. Me, I'm a little more simple. A little more just, hey, God, this is what I need. You don't have to be flowery. You don't have to sugarcoat anything. Just be real with God and talk to him and let him know what you need. Let him know what you're interceding for. Let him know who you're interceding for. Let him know the situation. He already knows it. He just wants you. He already knows it all, right? He just, but this strength and this strength for us and just giving it to him and releasing it and putting it in his hands. It's such a power of position to say, God, I'm just going to, I prayed it over several people this morning. I'm just going to cast it all on you, Lord God, because you care for me and you're going to take care of it. Amen. And so I just want you to realize that there is a position of power that you need. And I pray that you go to on a regular basis. I'm going to dismiss with prayer. It's about 10 minutes to 12. At 12 o'clock, we're going to start our business. We're going to give you 10 minutes to get a drink, go to the bathroom. And I love you. Thank you. One side note, if you want a funny story, just ask Jen about the wild donkey on our vacation, okay? Just go ahead now. If you want a funny story, ask her about the wild donkey on our vacation. I'll pay for that later. But it's a funny enough story, I'll pay for it, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these good people, Lord God. Father God, just have your way in our lives, God. I pray, Lord God, that we would realize our position of power, God. And it's not like in sports where we've got to be balanced. It's not like in sports, Lord God, where we got to have equal weight distribution. In fact, God, it's an inequality. It's unbalanced, Lord God. Our position of power, God, is going to you and giving it all to you because you are greater than everything we have. Father, I pray, Lord God, that what you've already done around these altars this morning, God, I pray that you would just seal it, Lord God, and that we would walk out of here in victory, Lord God. God, I pray that this would be an amazing week. God, I pray this week that you would open up an opportunity, Lord God, that we could tell our story here on earth, Lord God. In fact, more importantly, God, that we could tell your story through us here on earth, God. Have your way, I pray. Bring us back on Wednesday night for our midweek service, Lord God, or to whatever connect groups we belong to. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory in your name. Amen.